Welcome back. Today we're doing a Metallic FX Shots Masterclass for Drama and Bass in Ableton Live, Intermediate Level. The goal is modern control, like tight macros and mix discipline, but with that vintage, slightly band-limited, slightly dirty tone that feels like classic mechanical DNB. Metallic FX Shots are those one-hit moments, clangs, stabs, scrapes, zaps. They're not just random FX. Treat them like mini-percussion. Each one should have a job. It's either transient punctuation, a tonal stab that reinforces the key, or a transition marker that turns the phrase. If you can't describe the role in one sentence, the sound is probably trying to do too much. By the end, you'll have three shot types and a reusable metal effects rack you can drop into any tune, a tuned metal clang, a scrape into an impact, and a short radio-ready zap that cuts through breaks and bass. First, quick session setup. So we design like producers, not like laboratory scientists. Set your tempo to 172 to 174 BPM. Create a new MIDI track and name it Metal FX. Jump into arrangement view and drop a few locators or just mental notes. Bar 17 as your drop start, where a big metal hit might land. Bar 25 for a mid-phrase fill where a smaller zap belongs, and bar 33 for a transition, where we'll use the scrape into an impact. The point is, we're building shots, but we're already thinking about placement, space, and conflict with drums. All right, shot number one, the metal clang. This is operator into resonators, and it's one of the fastest ways to get that noise-era machine hit vibe using stock devices. On the Metal FX track, load operator. Start super simple. One oscillator straight to output. Oscillator a set to sine. Think of operator as the exciter, basically the mallet hit. The metal will come from resonances after it. Now shape the amp envelope. Attack at zero. Decay somewhere around 120 to 250 milliseconds. Sustain all the way down. Release around 50 to 120 milliseconds. You want it to be a one shot, not a note. If you want more definition, add a tiny bit of noise in operator if your version has it. Keep it subtle. Teacher tip here. Don't try to force metallic character with the exciter. If you make the source too bright, you'll end up fighting harshness later. Keep it clean and let the resonant stage do the work. Now add resonators after operator. Set dry slash wet around 50% to start, and we'll adjust later. Here's the key. Tune the resonators as a metal cluster. Pick a root note that fits your track. Darker DNB often sits nicely around F or G, but use your track's key. Then set the resonators in a cluster like this. One at the root, another at plus 7 semitones, another at plus 12, plus 19, plus 24. That gives you a stacked, slightly wrong harmonic shape that feels like metal rather than a clean chord. Increase decay in resonators to something like 0.8 to 2.5 seconds. Yes, that's long. Don't panic. We're going to control it. Starting longer helps you hear what the resonant character really is, and then you tighten it for DNB. Now for vintage tone shaping. Drop saturator after resonators. Use soft sine or analog clip. Set drive around 2 to 6 dB. Turn on soft clip. That's your edges get rounded but still loud behavior. Then EQ 8. High pass aggressively. Start around 120 to 250 Hz. Metallic shots hide ugly rumble down there, and in drum and bass that rumble will steal headroom from your kick and sub immediately. Now find harshness. It's usually in the 2.5 to 4.5 kHz region. Pull it down 2 to 5 dB with a medium Q, around 2. If you need more presence, add a gentle shelf up around 8 to 12 kHz, 1 to 3 dB. But remember, bright isn't the same as loud. We're going for cuts through without hurts. Now the big DNB rule. Control the tail. Uncontrolled metallic ringing will mask snares, rides, and vocal chops. Put a gate after EQ. Set threshold so it closes after the initial ring. A starting point might be around minus 25 dB, but you'll set it by ear. Return around 150 to 300 milliseconds. Floor all the way down for tightness. If you get clicks, turn on look ahead or slightly soften the timing. Optional fun alternative, instead of gate, use autopan as a rhythmic tremolo gate. Amount at 100%, phase at 0 degrees, shape set to square, and rates sync to 1/16 or 1/8. It creates this industrial chop that can sit beautifully in a rolling pattern, especially if you're doing call and response with your drums. Quick coaching note on tuning. Tune the ring, not the transient. The first 20 to 40 milliseconds can be atonal and still sound great. It's the tail that clashes with the bass note. If you're unsure, resample the shot to audio, fade in so you only hear the ring, then use tuner or spectrum to find the perceived pitch, and adjust your resonator cluster or overall pitch until it sits in key. Cool, that's shot one. Shot number two. The metal scrape into impact. This is your transition marker. It moves, it shifts, it ends with a hit. Duplicate the track or make a new MIDI track and load Wavitable. Choose a more complex Wavitable. Metallic, complex, or anything with formantish behavior. Now set the amp envelope with a tiny attack, like 5 to 15 milliseconds, so it doesn't click. Decay 600 to 1200 milliseconds. Sustain down. Release 100 to 250 milliseconds. Now we make the scrape motion using a pitch envelope. In the mod matrix, route envelope 2 to oscillator pitch. Amount around plus 12 to plus 36 semitones. Set envelope 2 decay to 300 to 900 milliseconds. What you'll hear is that SHHHH new a downward bend, like a piece of metal sliding then settling. Add a filter and Wavitable. Band pass or high pass works great here. You can automate the cutoff too, but don't overdo it. The pitch envelope is the main storyteller. The filter is just shaping the material. Now for the modern mechanical part. Frequency shifter after Wavitable. Try ring mod mode for aggressive metallic, or single sideband for a cleaner but still weird shift. Set fine somewhere between 200 and 1200 Hz. Mix between 20 and 60%. Here's where it becomes a masterclass moment. Automate the fine control over the duration. Even 300 to 600 milliseconds of motion is enough. That automation is what makes it feel like the scrape is turning into an impact, rather than just a note sliding. Then lock the transient with drum bus. Drive 5 to 15%, crunch 0 to 20%, transients plus 10 to plus 40. Keep boom off. We're not making sub impacts here. We're making mid-range metallic punctuation that sits above the bass. Optional pro move if the scrape gets sharp. Do dynamic harshness control without multiband. Put EQ8 into a compressor, and in the compressor enable sidechain EQ but key it from itself. Focus the detector around 2 to 5 kHz. Ratio around 2:1, fast attack, medium release. Now only the harsh spikes get tucked when they happen. Alright, shot number 3, the short zap. This is tiny punctuation. You'll use it in fills, offbeats, and little answers to snares. Load operator again. Set algorithm to B modulating A, then A to output. Oscillator assign, oscillator B sign, or slightly brighter. Turn B level up high, like 60 to 80. And set B frequency ratio somewhere between 2.00 and 6.00. That's your FM brightness. Amp envelope. Attack 0. Decay 50 to 120 milliseconds. Release 30 to 80 milliseconds. You want it to speak and leave, like a little pew that doesn't overstay. Now add redux for vintage digital grit. Bit reduction 8 to 12 bits. Sample rate 8 to 20 kHz. Then EQ 8. High pass at 200 to 400 Hz. Optionally boost a bit around 3 to 6 kHz if you need that radio zap presence. Add a tiny, controlled reverb with hybrid reverb. Go convolution. Pick a small room or a metallic impulse. Decay 0.3 to 0.8 seconds. Pre-delay 10 to 25 milliseconds. Dry slash wet 8 to 18%. Teacher note, if you want the zap to feel bigger, don't reach for longer decay. Increase pre-delay instead. Pre-delay gives perceived scale while keeping the transient clean. Now let's turn this into a reusable instrument you can play. Pick one of your chains, like the clang chain. Operator into resonators into saturator into EQ into gate into reverb. Select the whole chain and group it into an instrument rack. Command or Control G. Now we map macros for modern control. Think like this. Every macro should do something musical and safe. Macro 1. Pitch. Map it to the instrument coarse tuning, plus or minus 12 semitones. Macro 2. Ring or metal. Map it to resonators dry slash wet, or if you're in the scrape patch, map it to frequency shifter mix. Macro 3, decay. Map it to resonators decay, but keep the range tight, like 0.3 to 2.0 seconds. You don't want a macro that can accidentally ruin the mix. Macro 4, dirt. Saturator drive, maybe 0 to 8 dB. Macro 5, bite. Map it to an EQ high shelf gain, 0 to 4 dB. Optionally also map the mid-dip frequency slightly, so you can move harshness control. Macro 6. Width. Add utility at the end and map width, maybe 80 to 140%. But be careful, in clubs, if the impact is too wide, it disappears. Macro 7. Space. Map reverb dry slash wet, 0 to 20%. Macro 8. Tail tight. Map gate threshold and return so you can tighten the tail fast. And here's an upgrade that will save you an arrangement. Create one macro called safety. This macro should reduce the metal mix a bit, reduce reverb, and tighten the gate or shorten decay, because when the drop gets crowded, you don't want to hunt through devices. You want one knob that says get out of the way. Now build a mix-ready output stage at the end of the rack. This is how you make a resampled library sound consistent. After everything, add EQ 8 with a steep high pass. Often it'll be 150 to 350 Hz depending on the shot. Then a limiter just catching 1 to 3 dB. Not crushing, just preventing random spikes. Then utility for overall discipline. If you want to be extra correct, do your mono lows concept with mid/side EQ rather than brute forcing everything, but the simple rule is, don't make low frequencies wide in a metallic shot. Keep the width for the fizz, not the body. If you want stereo that survives mono, do a two-chain audio effect rack, a mid-chain that keeps the body and stays mostly mono, and a side chain that is high-passed, like above 2 to 4 kHz, where you add the width and reverb. Collapse to mono and the punch remains. Now, arrangement placement. Metal shots work best when they answer the drums and frame the bass. Classic moves. On the downbeat of the drop, one big clang layered with a crash. Every 8 bars, one signature metal hit to reset attention. End of a 2-bar phrase. A short zap on beat 4 and, or right before the snare, so it feels like a little intake of breath. And pre-drop, the scrape that builds texture, then hard cut into an impact. Here's a powerful arrangement trick. Call and response, but on texture, not just timing. Keep the hits in similar grid positions each phrase, but rotate the surface. Clean to gritty to filtered to wide. Listeners feel development without losing the groove. Also, negative space. Right before a major metal hit, remove hats or a small drum element for an eighth note or a quarter note. The shot feels twice as big with zero extra processing. Common mistakes to watch. Too much low end. High pass harder than you think. Uncontrolled tails. Gated. Shorten decay, or micro-edit fades after resampling. Harsh upper mids, 2 to 5 kHz will destroy your ears and DNB, so don't be scared of a narrow dip. Too wide, always mono check, and over-layering. One great shot is better than 5 average ones. Now a mini exercise to lock this in. Build one metal clang rack, then resample 10 variations by changing pitch, ring or metal and decay, but always keeping tails tight. Put them into a drum rack as one shots. Write an 8-bar rolling loop at 174 BPM. One big clang on bar 1. Two small zaps in bars 3 and 7, offbeat, and make them answer snares, not kicks. One scrape into impact at the end of bar 8 leading into bar 9. Then bounce it and listen in mono. Any shot that disappears, replace it or reduce width. This audio version is shortened for playback.